Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, there's a song that we listen to or that we sing each Christmas. The song is "What Child Is This?" But, and some of you may know this already, the tune that we associate with "What Child Is This?" is actually a secular song by the name of "Greensleeves," a song that was popular and was used for several songs at that time. But when the tune "Greensleeves," when it was used for these lyrics, when it was used for this song, "What Child Is This?" it gave the tune new life and new meaning, because it transformed something that was worldly into something that is holy. And when you think about it, that's really what Christmas is all about. Jesus didn't come into this world to leave us the same. Jesus came into this world to give us new life and new meaning. And what we find when we place our lives into His hands, what we find when we give our lives to Christ, is that Jesus makes us holy. So let me pause right here and say this: Jesus came to make us holy. While we look at and we celebrate the nativity scene each year, we also remember that Jesus didn't come for the manger. Jesus came for the cross, that He might die for your sins and for mine, and that through His sacrifice that we might be made new. Jesus came to make us holy. And my encouragement to you this Christmas is that if you've never put your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ, my encouragement to you is that you would put your trust in Him this very day, that Jesus might make you holy. Now, with the song, "What Child Is This?" we're reminded that the child that was born all those years ago was not like any other child. He was a special child. And it was a child that had been prophesied about years earlier from prophets like Isaiah. And we read these prophecies in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And we're going to look at that passage tonight. If you have your Bible, feel free to turn there. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Now, as we think about the book of Isaiah, understand the book of Isaiah is one of the most comprehensive prophetic pictures of Jesus, reminding us that long before Jesus ever came into this world, God had a plan. God had a plan for our redemption. God had a plan for our transformation. God had a plan for our forgiveness and for our salvation. God had a plan, and I want you to hear me, regardless of what your background may be, regardless of where you came from tonight, I want you to know God has a plan for you. God's desire through Jesus is to take you, to transform you, to give your life new meaning. God has a plan for you. Before Christ came into this world, God had a plan, and He revealed His plan through prophets like Isaiah. So let's look at this prophecy right now, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. It says, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on His shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prophecy will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we see there at the start of verse 6. It says, "For a child will be born for us." And I want to highlight that word "will" for just a moment. That word "will" indicates a promise was made. And if you have kids, you'll understand this. With my kids, when they ask me for something, if they ask me to do something, if they say they want something, if I say maybe, or if I say let me think about it, then it may mean that it will happen, but it might mean that it won't happen. And more often than not, if I say let me think about it, it probably means it's not going to happen. But if I say that it is going to happen, then it means it's not a maybe. It doesn't mean it might happen. It means it will happen. It's a promise. You can guarantee it. And so as we see this word "will" here in verse 6, we're reminded that God made a promise. It's not that a child might be born or that God was thinking about sending the Messiah into this world as a child. No, it was going to happen. The people could bank on it. But this is what I want you to realize. We don't live in the time of a child will be born for us. We live in a time of a child has been born for us. This prophecy has been fulfilled. Just like all of the other prophecies of the coming Messiah, they have all been fulfilled. A child has been born for us, and that child is Jesus. But while Jesus was his given name, there are four other names that we see here in this passage. Names that were not his legal name, but these are names that give us better understanding of Jesus's nature and his attributes as our Savior. And so for the next few moments, I want to spend some time talking about each of these names. First, we see Jesus named Wonderful Counselor. Now, in the original manuscripts in Hebrew, there was no punctuation. The punctuation, these commas, were added in for us when it was translated into English for readability purposes, for understanding purposes. But what these commas do is they make these words like wonderful, mighty, and eternal. These commas turn these words into adjectives. And maybe that's how it was meant to be understood, but I believe it's also possible that it was meant for us to understand each of these words on their own. And so we could look at this and say, yes, Jesus is a wonderful counselor, but we could also simply say, Jesus is wonderful. Well, how is Jesus wonderful? Well, he's wonderful in his miracles, making the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see. Jesus is wonderful in his miracles. He's also wonderful in his character. There's not a single flaw in who he is or how he loves. He's wonderful in his character. He's also wonderful in his wisdom. Think about when Jesus had to answer questions that the Pharisees would ask him. And many times they were asking these questions to trap him, but Jesus knew exactly what to say because he has wonderful wisdom. And he's also wonderful in his sacrifice. We see in the Garden of Gethsemane the weight of the cross on Jesus. And yet Jesus went to the cross willingly to bear your sin and mine, to be our sacrifice so that we might be saved. And so he is wonderful in his sacrifice. And so we can look at all of these things and say Jesus is wonderful in all of these ways, but yes, Jesus is also wonderful in his counsel. You know, there may be times in your life where you have had to seek out counsel. Maybe from a friend, maybe from a family member, maybe from a pastor or even a professional counselor. And if that's the case, let me just say that's okay. It's okay to seek out counsel, especially when we need counsel, maybe in some blind spots in our lives, it's good for us to have someone to speak truth into our lives. And so there's nothing wrong with seeking counsel. But I want you to hear me. Jesus is our perfect counselor. To know Jesus is to know the best counselor there is. And because Jesus is our wonderful counselor, I want you to know we can trust him. We can trust him with our fears. We can trust him with our anxieties. We can trust him with our innermost thoughts. We can trust him. He is our wonderful counselor. So first, we see Jesus named Wonderful Counselor. Second, we see Jesus named Mighty God. There's no question of whether Jesus was born. Jesus was born. He was a man. But he was also so much more than a man. He is our mighty God in the flesh. In fact, the name Emmanuel, another name that we see in Scripture attributed to Jesus, means God with us, meaning that the mighty God in heaven stepped off of his throne and entered into the world that he created to become one of us. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says it this way, Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant and taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Our mighty God in heaven became one of us. Why? He became one of us as an expression of his love for us. So a few years back, Sarah was getting ready for work one day, and she mentioned that she was out of perfume. It was a Friday, so I was off work that day, so I decided to go to the mall to buy some perfume for her. And when I was checking out, the cashier, she asked, what's the occasion? Is it your anniversary? Is it her birthday? And I simply said, it's just Friday. Because I wasn't buying her perfume for a special occasion. I was buying it for her simply as an expression of my love for her. Listen, Jesus coming into this world, it's not because it was a special occasion. It's not because we earned it. It's not because we deserve it. God became one of us in Jesus Christ as an expression of his love for us. If you hear nothing else tonight, I want you to hear this. Our mighty God loves you. And Jesus is the evidence of that love. So we see Jesus named Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. Third, we see Jesus named Eternal Father. Now, don't misunderstand this. The name here, Eternal Father, is not to describe Jesus' relationship within the Trinity. Jesus is not the Father. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son. So this is not to describe Jesus' relationship within the Trinity, but it is to describe Jesus' relationship with us. Just as a good father cares for and protects his children, Jesus cares for and protects us. So a couple of summers ago, we went as a family to Disney World, and this was at a time where Ethan was still a little unsure on roller coasters. But he knew if he was riding with me, if I was next to him, he knew that he would be okay. Well, when we rode the ride Space Mountain, if you've ever been there, if you've ever been on it, you know I could not ride next to Ethan. The way the seats worked, I had to sit behind Ethan. But they take pictures on the roller coasters, so when you get off, you can see these pictures. And what you see in the picture is that my hands were over Ethan's shoulders so that he would know that I was with him, so that he would feel safe and secure. So I want you to hear me this evening. Because Jesus is our eternal Father, because he cares for us, and because he protects us, no matter what we're going through, Jesus has his hands on us. Through the ups, through the downs, through the twists and the turns, Jesus has his hands on us, and he holds us in the good times and even in the more difficult times. And if you're going through a difficult time right now, let me just invite you to sense the Lord's hand on you, that you might simply experience the peace of your eternal Father's presence. So we see Jesus named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Eternal Father. Finally, this evening, we see Jesus named Prince of Peace. So if you've ever watched a beauty pageant, or maybe even a spoof of a beauty pageant, you know there's a cliche answer that's given whenever asked what the contestant would like to accomplish during her reign as queen. What she wants is world peace, right? We have this desire within us for peace. Peace in the world that we live in, peace with those around us, and even peace within ourselves. And so with this name, Prince of Peace, we are reminded that Jesus has come to offer us peace. And while Jesus can and absolutely does offer us peace for in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulations, the great peace that is offered to us is a peace with God. You see, before we come to salvation, apart from Christ, we are told that we live as enemies to God because of our sinful nature. Our sinful nature lives in opposition to the very nature of God Himself. But through Christ's sacrifice, peace is afforded to us. That we wouldn't live as enemies with God, but that we would live as His children. Jesus came to offer us peace. And tonight I would ask you, have you experienced the peace that only Jesus can offer? Have you experienced peace not simply for this world that we live in, but peace for your soul? If you haven't, then there's no better time than this Christmas season to surrender your life to Christ, that you might experience the peace that only He can offer as we celebrate the coming of our Prince of Peace once again. So what child is this that was born for us all those years ago? He is our Wonderful Counselor, our Mighty God, our Eternal Father, and our Prince of Peace. So I'm going to invite the musicians forward, and I'm going to ask that the lights be turned off in the room at this time. And as the room goes dark, I want to take you back to verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9:2 says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness." You see, not only is Jesus our Wonderful Counselor, not only is He our Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace, but He's also our light in the darkness. And you see, the reality is that the world that we live in can be very dark sometimes. And maybe you came here tonight after experiencing a year of darkness. Maybe you experienced the darkness of losing a loved one, or the darkness of losing a job. Maybe you've experienced the darkness of an unexpected diagnosis, or simply the darkness of sin and shame. This world can be a very dark place, and yet as believers, we're reminded that no matter how dark this world may get, there will always be a light shining in the darkness. And that light is Jesus. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus calls Himself the light of the world. And He says, "Anyone who follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You see, when we have the presence of Jesus in our lives, there will never be a darkness that His light can't overcome. And so we have this assurance that no matter how dark this world might get, because of His light, we never have to walk in darkness again. So in John chapter 8, Jesus calls Himself the light of the world. But then in Matthew 5:14, speaking to His disciples, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You see, just as Jesus came into a dark world, now he is sending us out into the darkness. And as he sends us out, he does so with his light, that in the darkness we also might shine. So I'm going to invite Palmer and Becky down, and I'm going to light my candle from the Christ candle. And then I'm going to light Palmer and Becky's candles. And then we're going to go through the room, and we're going to light your candles. And in the darkness, our light will shine.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.